use their staff. They would rather those customers fly on different airlines. It's a subtle irony that one of the best customer service companies in the country focuses on its employees before its customers. The trust between the management and the employee, not dogma, is what produces great customer service. It is a prerequisite, then, for someone to trust the culture in which they work to share the same values and beliefs of the culture. Without it, that employee, for example, is simply a bad fit and likely to work only for self-gain without consideration for the greater good. But if those inside the organization are a good fit, the opportunity to go the extra mile, to explore, to invent, to innovate, to advance, and more importantly, to do so again and again and again, increases dramatically. Real trust comes from the things you can't see. "Rambo 2," said the voice of a Brigadier General Jumper's radio, referring to him by his call sign. "Your group, 180, 25 miles, closing fast. Barnyard, radio contact," replied Rambo 2, reporting that he had picked up the enemy group on his own radar. A one-star general, John Jumper was an experienced F-15 pilot with thousands of hours of flight time and over 1,000 combat hours. By all measures, he was one of the best. Born in Paris, Texas, he had enjoyed a distinguished career. He'd flown just about everything the U.S. Air Force had, from cargo planes to fighter jets. Decorated and distinguished, the commander of his own combat wing, he was the embodiment of what it meant to be a fighter pilot, smart and confident. But on that day, Jumper's reaction did not match the situation he faced. By 25 miles, he would have been expected to fire his weapons or take some other offensive movement. Fearing that Jumper was locked onto the wrong contact on his radar, Captain Lori Robinson calmly repeated what she could see from miles away. "Rambo 2, confirm radio contact. Your group, now 190, 20 miles. As the air weapons controller, who was watching the action on her radar screen from a nearby command and control center, it was Lori Robinson's job to direct the pilot toward the enemy aircraft so that he could use his weapons to intercept and destroy them. Unlike an air traffic controller, whose job it is to keep air traffic apart, the weapons controller has to bring the planes closer together. From the vantage point of the radar screen, only the weapons controller has the big picture, as the pilot's onboard navigational system shows only what's directly in front of the aircraft. Captain Robinson saw her job as something bigger, however, than just staring at a radar, something more profound than just being the eyes and ears for the pilots who were hurtling into harm's way at 1,500 miles per hour. Captain Robinson knew why her job was important. She saw herself as responsible for clearing a path for the pilots in her care so that they could do what they needed to do, so they could push themselves and their aircraft further with greater confidence. And for this reason, she was unusually good at her job. Robinson couldn't make mistakes. If she did, she would lose the trust of her pilots, and worse, they would lose trust in themselves. You see, it's confidence that makes fighter pilots so good at their jobs. And then it happened. Captain Robinson could tell from the calm of Jumper's voice over the radio that he was unaware of the threat coming at him. On a cloudless day, 20,000 feet over the desert, the alarm screeched in Rambo 2's $25 million state-of-the-art fighter jet. He looked up from his radar screen and saw the enemy engaging him. "Break right, break right," he screamed into his radio. On October 9th, 1988, Brigadier General John P. Jumper was killed. Captain Robinson waited. There was an eerie calm. Before too long, Jumper stormed into the debriefing room at Nellis Air Force Base. "You got me killed," he barked at Captain Robinson. Situated in the Nevada desert, Nellis is home to the Air Force Fighter Weapons School. And on that day, General John Jumper took a direct hit from a simulated missile from another U.S. Air Force jet playing the part of an enemy combatant. "Sir, it was not my fault," Captain Robinson replied calmly. "Check the video, you'll see." General Jumper, the 57th Wing Commander, a graduate of the U.S. Air Force Fighter Weapons School, and a former instructor at Nellis, routinely evaluated every detail of every training mission he flew. Pilots often relied on the video to learn from their exercises. The video didn't lie, and it didn't on that day either. It revealed that the error was indeed his and not Captain Robinson's. It was a classic blunder. He forgot he was part of a team. He had forgotten what made him so good at his job was not just his ability. Jumper was one of the best because there were others who were looking out for him, a massive infrastructure of people he couldn't see. Without question, General Jumper had been given the best equipment, the best technology, and the best training that money could buy. But it was the mechanics, the teachers, his fellow pilots, the culture of the Air Force, and Captain Robinson who ensured that he could trust himself to get the job done. General Jumper forgot why he was so good and made a split-second decision that cost him his life. But this is what training is for, to learn those lessons. Some 16 years after his lesson over the Nevada desert, General Jumper went on to big things. Now a retired four-star general, he served as Chief of Staff of the Air Force from 2001 to 2005, the highest-ranking uniformed office in the entire Air Force, responsible for the organization, training, and equipping of nearly 700,000 active duty, guard, reserve, and civilian forces serving in the United States and overseas. As a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he, along with the other service chiefs, advised the Secretary of Defense and the National Security Council and the President. This is not, however, a story about General Jumper. This is a story about General Lori Robinson. Now herself a Brigadier General in the U.S. Air Force, she no longer has her face down a scope. There are no more bogeys and bandits, the Air Force's nicknames for the good guys and the bad guys, in her life. Even though her job has changed, General Robinson still starts every day by reminding herself why she came to work. As much as she misses her kids, as she called those who served under her command, General Robinson is still looking for ways she can clear a path for others so that they can push themselves and the organization further. The time to think of yourself is done. It is not about you. It is about the lieutenants behind you, she'd remind her students when she was an instructor at the Fighter Weapons School. If enough of us do this, she goes on, referring to why she does what she does, then we leave this military and this country in better shape than we found it. And isn't that the point? And it is that sense of purpose, a clear idea of why she comes to work, that has been the cornerstone of General Robinson's success. And that, incidentally, has been remarkable. Working hard to clear a path for others so that they can confidently go on to do bigger and better things has in turn inspired others to clear a path for General Robinson to do exactly the same thing. As a woman in a very masculine world of the military, she sets an example for how to lead. Great leadership is not about flexing and intimidation. Great leaders, as General Robinson proves, lead with why. They embody a sense of purpose that inspires those around them. General Robinson was so trusted as a weapons controller that it was not unusual for pilots